Father Kurt here with another edition of Staff Meeting from the Rector's Office at St. John's Episcopal Church in Old Town, Saginaw, Michigan. We are squarely in the middle of summer, which is why we haven't had one of these podcasts lately, but we will gather the entire staff around the microphone as autumn approaches. But for now, I'm hosting individual conversations with staff members. We'll have the Reverend Pam Renna in here soon to talk about her work with St. John's Volunteers on the Invite Welcome Connect program. Amy Simons will be in to talk about our burgeoning ministry to and with children, youth, and young adults. But for now, I'm joined, I almost called you the Reverend.
No.
Dr. Kevin Simons, organist and choir director at St. John's in Old Town. Kevin, you're putting on the miles on the Dodge Durango.
The Durango has been busy this summer.
You recently returned from Swanee, the University of the South in Swanee, Tennessee, and that's where I went to seminary.
Hands over hearts, right?
Swanee is owned and governed by 28 dioceses of the Episcopal Church, and it is sometimes described as the Episcopal Amusement Park. I can't remember for the life of me which bishop said that, but it plays an important role in the life of the Episcopal Church. Now, where you fall into this is that you are the director, conference director, of the Swanee Church Music Conference. So what is it? How did you get involved?
So I started attending the Swanee Church Conference when I was 19. I'm not 19 anymore, so that's been a few years ago. And it is the only conference of its kind that is left in the Episcopal Church for musicians that are in the Episcopal Church. There are other conferences, but this one is unique in that the conferees make up a choir for the week. And so learning comes from actually doing liturgy rather than sitting in a ton of workshops and stuff like that. So we hire faculty from the U.S. and England and Canada that are at the top of the field, and then they come and work with the conferees all week in preparation for singing Evensong and doing a choral Eucharist on Sunday morning at All Saints Chapel at Swanee. So this was the 69th annual conference, and I became director, I think this was my fourth year that I've directed the conference. I was on the board of directors before that, and so it falls to me to plan it and run it every year.
Where are the conferees coming from? I mean, how are they all Episcopalians, and then what roles do they play in their congregations?
Mm-hmm. So it is predominantly Episcopalian, and the last few years, I think that's increased. It used to be a bit broader in terms of the reach beyond the Episcopal Church, but to be honest, we're filling the conference, and so Episcopalians tend to be a little more quick on the on the uptake, I think, to register. I will say that, though, rather than just organists or choir directors, we have had an increasing number of choristers, that folks that sing in their church choir come with their choir directors.
And you took two this year.
Yes. Here. Yeah. I've been very fortunate since I've been at St. John's to be able to take a large number of choristers and students from St. John's. So it's rare for me not to take somebody from here.
And so what did they get out of it? So we had Tyler and Claire who went down this year. When they walk away from that, what do they say? What do they tell you about this experience?
It gives them a broader sense of where St. John's is in the Episcopal world. I think that we're connected to something bigger than just our block of Old Town. And that is in terms of not only the denomination and the university, but also in terms of community. Both Tyler and Claire have been there once before. I just heard from Tyler, who's being married here next year, that a friend that he made at the conference, Michael Boney, who's now the organist at the cathedral in Denver, is going to be here to play his wedding, which is great. So I can conduct. But the you know, that's the kind of community that both Tyler and Claire and others have engaged in throughout the years, in addition to learning the nuts and bolts of what it means to be an Episcopal choir director, organist, musician in the church.
So somebody from Denver was there, from Colorado.
Yeah, actually, he was at the cathedral in Indianapolis when he attended Suwannee, and Tyler has kept up a friendship with him for several years.
So would that be the person farthest from? I mean, was it, you know, were there folks from Canada?
Oh yeah, we have people that come from Canada. As far as Alaska, have come to the conference. They come from all over. Our faculty this year are actually from St. John's Detroit. Hugh Lewis, who's been there for several conferences, and is terrific. And Jack Michener came from close by. He's the cathedral organist in Atlanta.
So the big thing for me going to seminary at Suwannee is that it showed me a broader picture of the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a congregation, it's not just a diocese, it's not just a state, but there's this whole big world of Jesus followers within the Episcopal Church outside the locale. And our folks, you engage with them, you expose people from St. John's to a church which is larger than, like you said, our block in Old Town. I mean, we represent something much bigger than what we are.
Yeah.
Beyond that, now, shortly after this podcast probably gets put online, Beaver Island.
Yeah.
You get on the ferry, you head out into the middle of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
What in the world?
So this is my 12th season that I've been the choral director for the Baroque on Beaver Island Festival. That's something that happens the first weekend in August and then the preceding week and a half to get ready for everything. It's a classical music festival that happens on a rather large island that is a 2.5-hour ferry ride from Charlevoix. And that's funny. I started doing that. That was an Episcopal connection also. My dear friend Mary Lou, who just retired as the organist in Mount Pleasant at the Episcopal Church, knew some folks that were doing it and put me in contact with the board, and I was hired to be the choral director there. So I prepare a choir to sing with the orchestra several times during the week. And we've had countless St. John's folks that have been doing that also over the years. And it's sort of St. John's North for a couple of weeks. There's a little Episcopal mission there, which is actually where the festival began. And so I play at the little church when we're up there, and put together a choir. And it's fun. It's like an old Boy Scout chapel. It's kind of a funny place. So.
And then last year, the celebrant and preacher, I may get this info wrong, but the person you got to encounter will actually be our provisional bishop here in Eastern Michigan.
That's right. Bishop Hoagland was there for 2 weeks last year. That's it, and technically that's in the other diocese. It's in
Western Michigan.
And this year the Bishop of Indianapolis is going to be there. So for a rustic little place, you know, they've had quite a bit of activity in the Episcopal Church there.
Yeah, those are always good connections.
Yeah.
So hear me talk a lot about the primary reason. So I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, but it's not too
bad. Okay.
I'm going to throw you a softball over the middle of the sword.
Okay.
But I didn't prepare you. So if you have to pause a little bit, it's not a big deal. But people of St. John's hear me talk a lot about how the primary reason for the existence of a Christian community is to create disciples, apprentices of Jesus Christ, to take a Dallas Willard term, apprentices. Mm-hmm. It goes without question in my mind that the Bible is key for discipleship. But for followers of Jesus in the Episcopal Church, so is the Book of Common Prayer, 1979, and so is the hymnal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How has the hymnal nurtured your relationship with the God we know in Christ Jesus, and how have you shared your faith through your love and affinity for church music?
Well, I think the old saying, and I'm going to butcher it, is, you know, that Episcopalians believe what we say and say what we believe. That's that the texts that we use are help to form us.
And you're going to the Lex Orendi, Lex
Credendi. Right, yeah. And I would expand that to say the hymnal, I think, is a part of that. You know, it's authorized by General Convention. Those texts have been vetted for theological soundness. And I think that it's really part of our heritage and mission to preserve those texts and that music. And that's something I'm really proud to say that we do here at St. John's. I think that one of the dangers that the church, big C, runs into is the, I'll call it the Netflix effect, where we have almost so much that is available that we just don't watch anything. And that, I think, happens in church music too. That when we try to do so much, we don't actually internalize what it is that we are doing. Sometimes it takes several passes at a hymn for somebody to internalize what the poet had written in the third stanza. I do that still all the time. As many times as I've played Amazing Grace, there are still things that I think differently about that text, much like Bible lessons that we hear. It's the same thing, that we do need to hear the resurrection story every Easter day. That's important to us. And there will be different things that we hear about it because of our own place. And it's the same thing, I think, with the hymns that we sing. And so part of my mission here has been to help people better understand how they can use that in their lives as a spiritual tool, so that they look at the hymns in a historical way, that they look at them in a contextual way, so that it's not just random when hymns are chosen, that they're meant to shed light on maybe a personal experience that connects with the scripture for the day. So I don't know if that answers your question. That was a rather roundabout answer.
Good. Kevin Simons, travel safely.
Thank you.
As you go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.